I've never met a roofing contractor who didn't think he knew his closing rate, and almost every one of them was wrong. That matters because if you don't know what's happening to your leads, you can waste a lot of money trying to fix the wrong problem. You may not need more leads at all. Today, we're going to identify the sales numbers every roofing contractor needs to know and how a CRM can make them surprisingly easy to track. Welcome to The Roofer Show. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan. This is episode number 491 and the next part of our Roofing Business Health Check series. Built around the three-legged stool, you've got to sell work, you've got to do work, and you've got to keep score. Last week, we talked about why a roofing company can have plenty of work and still have no money. We looked at the financial leg and why you can't diagnose the health of your company without accurate financials. This week, we're moving into the sell work. And the first question isn't whether you need more leads. It's whether you're getting enough of the right leads and what happens to those leads after they come in. And to help me work through that, I've got John Delorier back on the show. John was my co-host for probably a couple hundred episodes of The Roofer Show. Today, John is with ProLine, helping contractors set up the systems, processes, and dashboards they need to manage their sales. John, here we are, episode 491. It's great to have you back on The Roofer Show.
I'm excited to be back. It's always good to chat, and I love helping contractors. My new role at ProLine is more like a therapist. I'm the guy who I help everyone on the team talk about their problems, and then I also, if you have an issue with ProLine, I'm the guy. I'm like the, when it gets to me, it's, we really want to take action. So I'm excited because I have lived a lot of the pain points that contractors call about. They have legitimate reasons to be upset or frustrated, or this is not working, or they want this done a certain way. It's about solving problems. We want to solve problems. I also love getting to talk about what you and I talk about, Dave, where there's no silver bullet for anything. It doesn't matter what tool you use, what CRM, what platform. At the end of the day, as a business owner, you got to solve your own problems. So I'm here to help people solve problems for their business.
But well, I've got all the seminar books over there collecting dust, and on it, it says magic bullet, the answer.
It's true. That's what a lot of people portray. Yes, you're right. But at the end of the day, it is doing the basics and understanding the basics of your business. I just left, and as we were talking, this week I was doing an on-site onboarding. We've been working with this private equity roll-up for about 4 months, and this is their first entity. It's about a $20 million roofing business, and there's five of them included on top of this. And they do the basics really well. They are using a very basic CRM currently as they're onboarding with us. They see some benefits. Massive benefits to make that blocking and tackling, like you always talk about, work better, but they understand what the basics are of a business. And that's, you got to sell something, but you also have to know all the things we talked about, the dashboard as well. It's very important, not just to sell, but to understand what you're selling, why you're selling it, at what profit margin, at what close rate, all those things they understand very well.
You know, everybody comes to me and says, Dave, I need more leads. If I only had more leads, my business would be killing it. And this is where the health check is so important because, okay, well, we have to find out if that's really the case because you may not need more leads. You may have inefficiencies with the leads that you've got. So here you are with all these leads. You're just going to spend and spend and spend trying to get these crappy leads. Maybe it's your salespeople. Maybe that you need sales training. Maybe your pricing is off, which happens a lot because going back to last week, you'll learn how the pricing gets off because they don't have clarity of their numbers. it could be that you're marketing to the wrong people, you know, spray and pray. You haven't identified your ideal customer. You haven't set up your differentiation. Could be all kinds of things. But until we get down to it and have some good lab work, some good blood tests, so we can see what's really happening, we can't make those decisions. We can't make the prescription. So, and this is what your CRM should be doing. You know, I got a number of things I want to talk about because I've got a ton of questions, but you know, we all know what the, you know, it's called the CRM death loop. Okay. Where, and you got to see this all the time where everybody always says, you know, the CRM screwed up. You know, I'm going to get another one. I'm going to switch to Acumen. I'm going to switch to Job Nimbus, you know, and it just goes around and around. They find the same problems because they're not doing the basics, as you talked about. You've got to set it up correctly first. Make it for your company, what is it that you're going to track? Number one is setting it up. Number two is the implementation, is trying to get everybody on board. Who owns that CRM? Because you've got to have somebody that's really just handling this all the time and getting good information in and using it correctly.
Absolutely. So again, I'm going to refer back to this company quite a bit because I was very impressed. They're doing all the things right. They have a full-time receptionist. They have a backup to that person. They're going to answer the phone. And that is just a basic thing that you must do. It's been, depending on which part of the country you're in, it's been a pretty rough couple years for roofing, residential roofing. It's been pretty tough. So if you're not doing the basics, you're going to struggle. Again, this company knew how to answer the phone. They knew how to respond. One thing that they saw a huge value in was over the weekend getting leads. And then on Monday, they had all these leads to respond to. Well, again, not a silver bullet, but Proline is going to respond to all those leads 24/7. So after they even had an answering service, this, they were using an answering service to answer these calls. However, they were the information they gave us is about one third. They said 33% of those leads were slipping through the cracks.
Right.
And so this is a very successful business. So if you think that you're just perfect on all this, you're not. Because these people, I mean, they have a massive staff. They are very organized. They know what they're doing. And they're still, because they know their numbers, are still missing about one third of those leads that they work really hard to get. So that's the first basic of sales. That's when the sale actually starts. Will you answer the phone and will you respond to any online inquiry, any website form, anything like that? If you're not doing that perfectly, you're missing probably a third of your leads.
Speed to lead.
Yep. First part of the sale.
One thing I want to talk about, because this is always a question that I ask contractors. Okay, great. You're doing all this. Well, what's your close rate? You know, and it's all over the place. I mean, from 75%. Oh yeah, we close, you know, all we do is referral business and we close all our deals. Okay, great. And then you get guys that, you know, oh, we sell 1 in 5. Well, they don't know because they're not tracking what we're talking about here. Okay, well, you're missing calls, and that's very common. Even if you got your act together, because we track that also, you know, how many calls, you know, have you missed calls? Okay, if you miss calls, are you following up with, you know, what are you doing and so forth? This is kind of the diagnosis part, what we're talking about. We have to be able to determine that. But close rate, you know, your win-loss, you know, rate, okay? Let's say you go out and make three presentations, generally you're going to sell one of those three. And that's, you know, 35, 40%. It's great. You get up into 50 and 60, your pricing is too cheap. Raise your prices, get back down to a more reasonable level, and you're going to make a lot more money. You're going to have fewer proposals. You're going to close, you know, you're going to be able, the deals that you close are just going to be much more profitable. So we have to look at that. So that maybe is a pricing issue. If you're only selling 20%, what's happening? Are you going, you know, are the leads coming in bad leads? Are you not able to close them because you don't have any sales skills? Are you dropping the ball, you know, falling through the cracks, all of these things? So we've talked about this a lot. And I know you've done, you know, on the Big Roofs podcast and YouTube, you've done a show similar to that. And we've talked about that. And I think we both agree that these guys have no idea really what the close rate is. What's your experience?
Yeah, it's hard if you don't know the beginning part of the process of the quantity of inquiries. And you and I have talked about this for years now. You can call it something different, but basically a prospect or an inquiry, somebody that's not a lead. A lead is usually first name, last name, a physical address, phone number, and email. At least phone number. Some people are a little more flexible if it's phone number, but you need first name, last name, physical address, phone number. You need that. That's a lead. And then does the lead turn into an appointment? And then does that appointment turn into a proposal? And then are you able to present that proposal? And however your sales process is, that's really the number you're talking about when you're talking about close rate. Because if you don't get to that point, you get a lot of inquiries. A lot of things come through that are not real people wanting your service in a timely manner. If they're just shopping for the next 2 years, that's not really a true lead that goes into the close rate. So you have to know all that. You have to have a system in place. It doesn't have to be ProLine. You just need to have a system in place that can track it perfectly accurate, where it does not rely on human memory, human error, that you can track it perfectly every single time. Because every single lead, every new inquiry that comes in there, into your world, your system, is extremely expensive. And it's not some cheap little, oh, that was free, that was a referral. Okay, great. It still costs someone some time, energy, effort, probably some money too. So you have to treat it like the most precious treasure ever, whether you're going to sell them or not, once they become an actual lead. That's the first stage of understanding your numbers. If you can start understanding your numbers, then you can understand your close rate. Then you can get to like average job size. Then you can get to like all the things that you talk about forever, Dave. It's like you have to start from the beginning having an actual real system in place. Like, oh, I know I need to do this. And I'm not talking about $20 million companies, guys. Like, yeah. if you're starting out, you need to have a system. It can be anything. It can be pencil and paper. Someone has to answer your phone immediately. And going back to what you said about speed of lead, if you don't answer in a within seconds, this is not like I'll call them back in 20 minutes thing. If you don't, you just lost that opportunity most likely. Or if they answer you after 20 minutes or an hour or 2 hours or whenever you call them back, they're less likely to choose you because you are not accessible. You do not answer your phone. And they're going to think, well, this other company answers the phone right away. If they're on my roof and I need to call someone, I need them to answer the phone right now. This matters a lot. And you can't know your sales numbers unless you fix that first.
Our problem, our pain is we don't have enough leads. That's what we need. I want you to tell me how to get more leads. We need the analysis first. So we got to look back on it. There's a great example. Are we missing, if you're not answering your phone with a live person, I guarantee you, you're losing a lot of opportunities. So that's the first problem that you've got to deal with, okay? Because then you don't need more leads. If we've got more opportunities coming in and we capture those, and each step of the way, and I like you explained it perfectly, where you've got an inquiry, okay? Now, it's important that we pre-qualify every one of these deals because we don't want to waste our salespeople's time going out and talking to people that are in the wrong area that we know can't afford our roofs, all of these things. So pre-qualifying, say, you know, this is not exactly the type of work that we do. So that would not go to the next step. You're going to cut that off right there. But we got the next step. And as you say, you know, okay, now somebody's interested. We got a phone number. We got this. But to have a true lead, you know, an actual lead where we're giving this to a salesman, That's a whole different thing. There's a lot of steps involved with that because we've pre-qualified them. We know that they actually want to buy a roof. Okay, we're going to have somebody go out. Now we're talking about true close rate. Okay, now we can say, okay, we did three of those and we sold one of them. Well, those are qualified leads. We lost these two. We sold this one. That is a real close rate. But all this other garbage in here, it's just going to mess you up. And what I find is everybody says they know their rate, but they're not even close when we get down and do the analysis, okay? We do the diagnosis because they're not tracking any of this. So they don't know. You know, it's just gut feel. And you can't grow a business in any area by gut feel. We don't want to do this. Wild ass guess? No. We can't do that. And it's easy enough to set up. Once we set it up, we have to be prepared to take leads first. And this is where a lot of the problems come in. You know, you're going to pay a bunch of money to get a bunch of leads come in, and you're not prepared to onboard those, bring them in to the intake. So that's really, you know, what we're talking about here. What's going on with this, and why is it important to track?
If you know your numbers, you're able to plan the number of sales reps you need, the number of production managers you need. Let's just say you want to be, you know, you got to do Dave's one-page business plan. We talked about why. What's your why? You really need to get down to that part because that should be the thing that dictates every decision you make. Knowing your numbers is one thing, but okay, so why do you want to have a $5 million business? Well, because I want to make $1 million a year. Okay, well, let's reverse engineer that. Once you know your numbers, you can use the numbers to build the business that you want. And a lot of people don't think about it that way. They just think about the revenue. Like, I just want to get more revenue, more sales. And a lot of people have had the argument is like, I want to dominate the market share, which is a strategy that can work. But at the end of the day, what I see a lot of the people that do that is that they get burned out because they've been selling at too low of a profit margin for too long. And now the entire market thinks that they're certain priced. And so now they have to reinvent their brand as a premium brand. And people are shocked that they're the most expensive now. And so you just need to know, what's your why? Do you want to do 500 roofs a year, or do you want to do 150 roofs a year? It's up to you. And you can do both of those things really well, make a great living for yourself, a great living for your team. That's the result of thinking about your why and then using the tool, the numbers, and again, not a CRM necessarily, it can be on a piece of paper. But if you don't know that part, you can't build the business that you want to build. You have to know, I want this for my family. I want to be able to do these for my family or spend this much money or make this much money or have this many employees I don't want to do sales anymore. I want to have the right salespeople. I don't want to do production anymore. I want to have the right production people. Whatever that looks like for you, you need to build it that way. Knowing your numbers will create the ability to do all that.
That why, that destination, where are you going and why, then we can come back and build it. A lot of people want to have $10 million businesses because they want to pound their chest. Okay, well, we can do that. It's a different strategy. Or I want to have a great lifestyle business and I want to make money, but not have to work my ass off. Being able to have the time, but also growing a more profitable business, not a more difficult business to run, because once you start making those next steps, man, you know how it goes. It's, you know, more business, more problems, perhaps. So we've got to have that information and we've got to capture all of these things. So now maybe it's not more leads. We've got all the leads we need. We need to do more with less, more with what we've got. We've got to work on that. We've got to, but unless we have the numbers, we don't know. A CRM. What does a CRM do? I mean, why do we need one and what's the point?
I mean, a CRM is customer relationship management. Are you actually, is this platform, is this tool helping with the business relationship with the customer. And I don't know about any kind of relationship, friendship, romantic, it needs communication. Whatever tool you use needs to focus on that. It needs to focus on how you communicate, the way you communicate with your customers. Does it maintain that relationship throughout the entire process? Do you call them? Do you text them? Do you email them? When do you do it? How do you do it? What do you say? That's what your CRM should be doing. The reason that you want to have things built in, do you want to spend, you know, a long time building it out? Sure, you can do it. You can vibe code it all day long. You can read books and then come up with scripts. Absolutely, you can. You just got to do that. You got to focus on the customer experience. Focus on how you can make your team more efficient. How can you make each person on your team communicate better? That's a CRM. That's what a CRM does. Yeah. Can it build amazing quotes? Should it do all those things? Should it be able to invoice? Obviously, yeah. But the quoting is a communication tool. Does it, do you, are you thoughtful about that? Do you, this is all related to sales. Do you want to have a better close rate? Have a quote, whatever your proposal is, your quote system. Does it communicate the customer story? Or does it communicate like all your, like, you know, awards? Are you elite this, blah, 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 that? Nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares.
Are you communicating that that customer is the most important part of this relationship? Customer relationship. Are you communicating that with the way your quote is? Are you bringing real value? Are you showing the difference? Are you communicating the difference of, well, if you choose this one, you get this type of warranty, this type of roof system. This is your expectation. You get put into our subscription. We're going to maintain your roof every year. If you get this roof, it's a little bit better shingle. It's going to look probably a little bit nicer, better warranty. You get a free year for our annual maintenance. You get this one, it's the ultra premium. You really care about it. You have a huge roof. You want people to see it. You want the best warranty. This is the benefits that you get for all this. And in your annual maintenance program, you get it for 2 extra years for free. And we're going to maintain that roof. You have to build value. You're communicating all those things with your quote. That's what a CRM does. It's just an added part of the communication of the texting, the calling, the emailing. It's all there. So everyone's on the same page. No one is confused. You are serving that customer. That's the communication part. That's what you're doing with the relationship using a CRM.
You know, sales, not that complicated. It's asking the right questions and shutting your mouth, you know, is the big thing. But also it's what I always say is the next step. What's the next step? And that's what we're always talking about. So, you know, we want to get information. See, you know, are you ready to proceed on this thing? You know, well, I'm not quite. And I go, well, what's the issue? I'm waiting for my tax return money to come back. Oh, okay. So that's the hang up. Okay. When's that going to be? So and so. Okay. Well, we're going to follow up. I'll give you a call on this day. That's the next step. There's always a next step to the sale. And if you can't skip those, okay? You have to have the patience and the consistency to do that. You know, we talked about speed to lead, qualification, all this. So now we've got a great lead. We're going to go out. You know, we went out there. We analyzed the problem, whatever it is. A good CRM does the estimate first, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the quote should be done. The estimate, quote, proposal, whatever you call it. It in the roofing world now, and I just had a conversation about somebody in landscaping. It's much more difficult. We don't have eagle view for landscapes. And there's just more variables that are unknown. In roofing, there's no excuse. If you've pre-qualified that lead, there's no excuse for you to not have that quote, proposal, estimate done before you even arrive to the inspection.
And so many people miss this step.
Yep. So there's a big, it does matter about your qualification process. You have to ask those questions like you're talking about, Dave. You have to ask, when are you looking to get this done? Is it in 2 years or is it in the next 30 days? Is it an insurance job or are you just have an old roof that needs to be replaced and your insurance company's telling you that you got to replace it or they're going to cancel your insurance? You have to ask all these questions in the pre-qualification process before you get to the house.
Financing. Are you interested in
financing? Are you doing financing? And if they say no, still offer financing because right. They're going to be like, why is this $35,000? And you're like, oh crap. When they thought it was 10. So you have to ask all these questions and we ask them very consistently every time for every new lead so that you can actually call back to those when there's an objection. Well, when are you looking to get this done? Well, it says right here, you're looking to get this done in the next 30 days. Well, I didn't know it was going to be $35,000. Oh, you said you weren't interested in financing. Here's an application to finance. All that stuff matters of pre-qualifying. Also, there's no excuse for them to not talk to you when you have the estimate done. The quote is in front of them.
Right.
You have already done, your team has already set this up. Again, your CRM has automatically pulled the measurements, the roof measurements, put them into your quote. It is 95% done at that point because all you're doing is adding photos. Again, it's going to tell the customer story because they're never on their roof. The quote is done before you get to the inspection. When you get to the inspection, you take we had 12 pictures we had to take minimum. It was all the roof components. It was any flashing. It was any pipes, anything like that. So we can show how we're different, what we're going to do different. These are the parts of the roof that leak. We're going to show by using pictures because nobody knows roofing jargon, communicating with the quote at the first inspection. So then they want to see it. They called you out there. They have a problem. You have a solution. Here's this photo. Here's what we're going to do. You drew on it. Here's this photo. You drew on it. Here's this photo. They can understand that like a 5-year-old. If they can understand it like a 5-year-old, then they can understand, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. I have no idea what he's drawing right there, but I know that he's taking the time to draw on this to show me the difference.
Let me back up for a sec. Okay, so we're saying that our Eagle View, we've got the measurements. We know how big the roof is, what type of roof we're going to need, we're going to sell, whatever. And basically, automatically, we're tied into our suppliers. Mm-hmm. We're going to get that material list right there, right?
Yep.
Okay. And depending on how you figure your labor, we've got our labor. So now we've got our price. It may not be exact. There may be a couple of tweaks that we're going to need, but we're pretty much know what this roof's going to cost before we go out there, unless something's right. really weird. Okay, the next step that you'd mention is the proposal. We've got templates. Tell us about how the proposal works. And one thing I want you to touch on is what I see too often is 30-page proposals because they've thrown in all this crap.
Guilty.
Manufactured and so
guilty
forth,
of that.
Right?
Yeah, guilty. Yeah, don't do what I did. Don't do that. I think it was 28 pages is my longest one. All right, you want to be detailed, right? But you don't really want to work for engineers or attorneys. That's not the best customers anyway. Yeah. So I recommend, I think my proposal was 8 pages long.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It should be no more than 8.
You got a cover page. It's got a picture of their house. Talks about their story. You get into it. You don't talk too much about yourself, like having a letter and your accolades, whatever. I would show your team next. The people and images, here's Tisha, here's Kathleen, here's Clay, all these people, they're here. So they know who they're going to talk to. It humanizes your team. Then you just get right into their house. It's just like there's inspections there. Okay, here's your ridge vent. You see how this is lifted up? There's also not enough ventilation. You talk with pictures each time. And again, there's no getting around this because this is your first visit meeting with them. The other roofers are not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one. I know this because people around me right now send me their quotes from other roofers, and they're like 3 weeks after the first time they went to the house.
Let me give you a pro tip that I know John does because I stole this from him. Before you even get to the property, you're doing a pre-sale. Okay, so we're getting ready. We're going to go see these guys, next Friday. Well, you're going to send a video of the sales guy who's coming out there, and it's an individual video. You tell me how it goes, John. It's, what to expect.
Yeah, I totally forgot this. We did this. So every single sales rep had their individual video. We paid a videographer to come to our office to introduce that sales rep so that when they opened the door, the customer already had seen that person's face and watched the 57-second video. They knew they had kids. They knew they lived in this area. Their neighbors, like, humanize the people that work on your team so that every time your goal is that they know who you are before you get there. If you can pre-sell before you sell, you're already beating everybody else. They're gonna forget your name anyway. They're going to forget your brand. Unless you have an amazing brand, they're going to forget the person's name and the company name. So you have to continually repeat. And so we'd also say, you'd send a video. The immediate second that they signed up for an inspection, we had a text message and an email go out that was company-wide. It showed what to expect on inspection day. We had a script. Again, it was a very short video. I think it was about 90 seconds long. We can use drones. We fly on your roof. We do take these photos. We give you a report that day. They had that video in a text and an email. Then we also sent the video of the individual sales rep. And that usually was either, depending on when the appointment was scheduled, it was either the same day or the next morning. So that they had two videos from us. We had our branding. We did it really professionally. There's drone flying. It showed that we are professionals. Once our guys got there, they already knew that we were a premium company. They knew that we're going to be the most expensive. Zero people even thought of that idea. No other roofers are doing that. So when we got there, they knew, okay, they have attention to detail. They care about cleaning up my house. They care about inspecting the roof. They care about installing the roof correctly. All these things are subconsciously in, they're showing it to their spouse. Check out this roof. This company's doing this. You're doing all these things. This is part of the sales process without even selling. But your company has a system set up in place that sales rep's phone is sending these texts, not the company phone,
right?
The sales rep, so that they can respond directly to the sales rep. And the sales rep can say, oh yeah, thanks so much for liking my video. You're building a relationship like a realtor does. You're empowering all the sales reps on your team like realtors, because now they trust that brand of that person that's underneath your company. And they're like, this company knows what's up. They know how to do this correctly. It's not just a fancy marketing thing. They care about the details. Roofers and home service people in general don't really care about details. We're kind of like going and busted, and it's a dirty job. But if you can show that you're different than your competition by doing things like this, you will win.
We've done all that. We're going out. We're taking a look, doing whatever we're doing. We're checking the roof because there may be something off that we need to deal with that wasn't in the eagle view. So we make that little tweak. We throw our photos in right there.
Okay. Yep. I'm going to go back to my truck. I'm going to take 5 minutes. I'm going to put your photos of your roof on the proposal, and I'll be right back to your front door to go over it.
Right. Now we're going to sit down and we're going to go over this. We've got our price. And the thing is, you know, I'm not a big one-stop closer necessarily, you know, where you get the high pressure type of thing. It's not my style, but some people are really successful doing that. The point of sitting down right then and having that quote is now you have the opportunity to deal with objections, okay? Because generally, here's your typical thing. Oh, okay, great. I've seen the roof. I'll shoot you something I'll shoot you an email here sometime, you know, 2 days from now. Well, they don't, you know, here a week goes by and it's the typical thing. And they call three or four contractors. Two of them don't even send anything, right? Because they just flaked out. It's the typical deal. You know, the bar in this industry is pretty freaking low. But now we're sitting down with them and we got the tennis game going. So we're asking a question, you know, what's really important for you? You know, what's the most important thing in choosing a roofing contractor? You know, have you ever had any construction projects, you know, remodel projects on your home. How did it go? Well, they always screwed them up. Okay, well, you're getting all this information. You're asking them, as you say, they don't care about you. They just care about what's in it for them. So that's who you're talking about. How do we help you? How do we get you what you want? Now you're learning all these things, you know. Are you just interested in the price? Well, yeah. Okay, well, let me explain that a roof is not just a roof. It's a roof is a roof. We've got to explain the difference, all of these things. We've got an opportunity to do that. You say, okay, well, that's great. I got to think about it, right? Coming back to our close rate, first off, you're going to close 50% more jobs doing that. If you leave the house without presenting your price, you just cut your opportunity to close that deal by 50%. Remember, we're talking about, I need more leads. Well, no, you don't. We want to work on improving your close rate. And this is what we're talking about. So now we've truly got good numbers. We presented a proposal. Now we've got three buckets. Maybe they say, okay, well, no way. I'm not paying that. I'm going with this guy. Okay, well, that goes into the loss bucket. Or maybe they're going to say, great, when do you want to start? Boom, that's the win bucket. The center bucket is the open jobs where, you know, I got to think about it. I got to do this. I'm waiting for this, whatever it is. That's your biggest bucket, but that's your biggest opportunity also. And this is where so many people drop the ball. Almost everybody, you know, my question is always, okay, so you made some of these quotes. How often do you follow up? Well, I don't follow up. They'll call me if they want to go with us. Tell me a little about that, John, because we've been talking about that for years.
This is the thing that's most exciting to me about this company that we just onboarded or starting to onboard now, is that they're in like this Rodney Webb and Chuck Tokyo world. They're very good at sales. They are also very good at the one-stop close, which is fine. Again, it's not my deal. I do love this company because the CEO said something, I don't want to mess up I'll paraphrase it, but like, we've always been invited into the customer's home. Meaning, they're not like a hardcore door knocking, we're going to get into your house and like be high pressure. I love that. But then they also get into the home, and I haven't seen their sales process. I'm sure it's very good, but I'm sure they also have very good training because they do Chuck Tokyo top rep training. But the sales manager, like the director of all the sales, he's a really cool guy. He's great at sales, but he still said something that I thought was funny. I didn't argue with him in the meeting, but I was just like, oh, we're really good at that, like closing sales. We're really good. And I believe that they know their numbers, but you and I know this middle person that you're talking about, they have opportunity. And at that level, 3-5% close rate difference is millions of dollars. And also, it lowers their acquisition cost because they're closing more of the leads that they are getting. So those little small things matter. If you're at like, I'm at 35% and now I'm at 39% close rate, mm-hmm. or I'm at 38%, now I'm at 42% close rate, massive amount of money.
Right.
They're doing 100 plus roofs a month, more than that. So like, this is a huge, huge deal. Yeah. For them. And so having automations that come from the sales rep's direct phone number that they've already been calling and texting from, that same number is texting and emailing the same customer to follow up for 2 years, it's going to increase their close rate massively. Even these very successful companies, they're going to see, I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait to be like, why did our close rate just increase? Why don't we just do like all the extra? We actually got less leads and we're closing more jobs. How is this possible? Well, that's because all your sales reps are following up for 2 years. And they're like, well, how is this possible? It's because they're doing the sales activity that nobody wants to do as a sales rep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's it.
And you talked about where you got a job like a year, year and a half later.
Oh, yeah.
Just by the automations.
Yeah. The automations will run for 2 years. And I would say probably the average is about 10 months, but a lot of them are over a year. Like just because that people have another, they get a bonus for work or they get a tax return or they sell something that takes a long, like whatever the reason is, they just didn't have the $20,000 then. And now they do. And they're like, my roof's still old. And John from ABC Roofing has been calling me, or he's been texting and emailing me for every month. And like, I'm the only name they remember. They right. don't have to call people again. They don't have to remember who is that guy? I really liked him, but mm-hmm. I just don't remember his name. I don't have his phone number. Oh, wait, he just texted me again. And it's just, it's just human nature. This is no magic trick. This is just like, we're all busy. If you just stay top of mind until they just tell you to go away, even people that told me they went with somebody else, they would save my number. And they would call me like, hey, I know I said that I went with somebody else, but he never showed up, or like he changed his price, or whatever the reason is. That happened all the time. Hey, I think I'm going to go with somebody else. Okay, well, when you go with them, let me know. And I wouldn't take them out of the sales campaign. I would leave them in there because they wouldn't get mad. Like, I know. I drove by your house because this is what I do. I knew that the customers are not always honest. Shocker. I would drive by those houses 3 months later, and then they're like, hey, I was in your neighborhood inspecting your neighbor's roof. I realized that your roof is not done yet. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm really sorry. I should have been following up with you. We're going to get the job done next month. Okay. Do you want me to send over an updated proposal? Yep. I would love that. Sold job. And it's only because the automations were running. That's it. Let's just do it.
Exactly. And here's the other reason why you need to do that. Remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to get good information so we can make the right diagnosis here. Okay. So we need good lab work. Now, we've got these three buckets, but if that center bucket, it's just growing and growing and growing, we don't know. Maybe half of these guys have already bought a roof. We don't know that. And that's why we always talk about, we want to get to know, We're going to lose 2 out of 3, let's say. We just want to know so we can keep that open job category, that bucket clean. Now we can start getting some good information on our close rate, you know, because we've got fewer open jobs. If you've got hundreds of open jobs, you know, it's just, I don't know if they ever did the job or not. Well, what's wrong with you, you know?
Yeah, don't talk about me that way, Dave. That's how I was. I still remember, this is one of the, way before Proline, I was a one-man show doing nothing, and I had like 60-something leads in the, like, quote, sent part of my job Nimbus. I was like, I'm crushing it. I'm like, nothing sold, though. Yeah. I just thought, oh, surely, like, something's going to close. Like, nah, because I never followed up with any of them. And I just didn't have time. I was like, that's a lot of people to call and a lot of people to text. To your point is exactly right. You have to have clean data, like real data. Okay. And I'll just go another step further. Make sure they're saying no. And they got to be kind of mean, because a lot of people will just not want more follow-up,
right?
Because they're avoiding the pain of the problem they have. They're waiting for the next storm to come that doesn't come. They're waiting for the next bonus to come. They want to go on vacation, but they know they need to replace their roof. Just don't be afraid of rejection. Good gosh, you guys are salespeople.
Right, like, exactly.
Please, you've already been to the house. They've seen your face. Now you've texted them about 40 times. Don't just, I'm too scared. They're going to be mad at me. And then move them out of the automation. Don't do that until they are actually straight with you. I have gotten my roof replaced with someone else.
Yeah.
Then. But if they're just like, oh, stop texting me, respect them. But like, then you need to inquire. Okay, totally understand. Have you gotten your roof replaced yet? Well, no, not yet. Okay, totally. Then just move the automation for 6 months from now. And guess what? You'll sell that roof because they have to replace the roof. It's not going to go away. Just
and you're not bugging them. Everybody's worried, oh, you know, they're going to get tired. They're going to get mad at me. They're going to think I'm bugging them. No, you're not.
Is their roof still broken? Yeah, it is. Can you fix it? Yeah, you can. Like, simple as that. Simple as that.
Here's a good example. A friend of ours, Chris Durall. Now, he's with SMA now. He ran Tresnik Roofing, his family business. But we're going to have him on next week because we can have all this good stuff in our CRM, but who is going to manage it? Who's going to make sure that the information stays clean? Who takes ownership over that? And this is where we're going to bring Chris in to talk about that leg of the stool and how we do the operations of that. But anyway, Chris, I started working with him coaching years ago. And one of the first things we did, I go, okay, well, let's take a look at your open quotes. You know, how many do you think there are here? He says, oh, I don't know. I go, you never follow up, never follow up. Okay. Turns out there's like $3 million of open quotes. He's got no idea what's happened. I go, okay, first thing is set up the automations. 500 grand, you know, close to $1 million of that work he sold from just those follow-ups.
I think that year, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he sold like $4.5 million that year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
He is the only sales rep for that, like crushing it. He's crushing it.
That story makes the point perfectly. Setting up the CRM is only the beginning. Someone still has to answer the calls, qualify the prospects, schedule and confirm the appointments, update every opportunity, and make sure the follow-up actually happens. And that's where SMA support can help. An SMA virtual assistant can take ownership of that daily process, from answering calls and tracking speed to lead to updating the CRM and following up on open quotes. That gives the owner a clean pipeline and a sales dashboard he can actually trust. To learn more, go to theroofercoach.com/SMA support. Now that we have numbers that we can have confidence in, now we can start making our diagnosis. What's going on? And maybe it's not more leads that we need. Maybe we need to improve on the close, which is we need to work on our speed to lead. We're missing calls, perhaps. We need some better sales training. We can see that, but we don't need more leads. Why pay for more leads when now we can focus on closing more of the leads that we've got? Maybe you don't need that new salesman because the guys that you've got are going on fewer proposals, fewer inspections, but they're closing more of them. What I'm interested in, John, we were talking about this earlier, is the dashboard. We have dashboards for everything. Here you are driving cross country. I mean, you got to know if you're running out of gas, oil, overheating, whatever. And if you've got duct tape across your gauges and you're trying to get across the country, you're going to have a problem, okay? And that's what we're talking about. So having simple dashboards, we went over that last week about the financial dashboards that we have. Now we've got a dashboard for our CRM. So when you're managing your business, you don't have to guess. You don't have gut feel. You look at the dashboard Monday morning every week, and you can see exactly what's going on. Whoa, hold it. We're losing a lot of jobs, or our close rate's going up, down, whatever it is. Well, now we can determine why is that. John, you're talking about we're making some improvements in your dashboard, and we're really making some tweaks. And I wanted to just kind of follow up. What is it that you're doing? What is it that's important to track? And why are you doing this? Why is it so important?
Well, our customers want custom dashboards, which I understand. There are certain organizations that track different KPIs, different things that are important to them. It's just going to be cool, too. You can like make the boxes bigger over here and people can see it and you can just focus on these things. So that's coming in the next couple months. But what you and I have talked about for a long time and what I built out in my job Nimbus specifically because of talking with you and being coached by you was I think it was either 5 or 6 different reports, custom reports in job Nimbus. It was total revenue obviously is important, but we wanted to know the close rate. We wanted to know like number of actual proposals and the number of sales. We wanted to know that part. We wanted to know the average job size, like what's your average signed contract quantity in dollars. And then we wanted to know what was the gross profit margin. So like, was it 32%? Was it 38%? We wanted to know that. And then on top of that, I would do like profit dollars. I wanted to quantify the profit dollars. And you can get like one of the things about
gross profit dollars.
Yes, gross profit dollars. We wanted to know the gross profit dollars. That way you can calculate, and people do them different ways, but you can calculate, you know, how many jobs do you need to do in a year, in a month, in a quarter to make this much profit? Because that's all that matters. But yeah, those are the things that I would track and for most people's businesses and make sure the data, like you said, clean data. Do you have a bunch of people, like if you have 65 open quotes or like quotes sent and you're like, that's going to mess up your close rate because it's not real. So like they need to get moved and just, this is getting into the weeds a little bit, but like I would say after 30 days or after 45 days, those open quotes go to a long-term follow-up. Just a side note, it doesn't have to be Proline, but it needs to be like a long-term follow-up process. Because most people, even that private equity company that we just left this week, their average from initial inquiry to paid in full was 36 days. That's pretty good. They're trying to be like 3 or 4 weeks out, and they could go faster. They said that this is one thing you and I have talked about. This is about sales and about like cash flow. They could do sooner. Like you talk about all the time, bragging about how you're like, I'm 10 weeks out. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you care about your crews in the roofing space, you want them to have consistent work. The perfect number of crews for your workload, consistently working one roof every week. And they figured out for themselves, about a $20 million company, they could stack on more roofs and like do two small roofs in a day and then two small roofs in a day. And then that works because our crews could do the same thing. But if they do that, then the next week they may not have 5 days of roofs or 6 days. Like, so you have to understand that kind of thing. The one thing that I learned that I had seen at Monarch Roofing too is, and one thing that they actually wanted for Proline's custom reporting is, in roofing, this makes sense. It took me a long time to understand this because this is related to sales and it's relating to production. Square count. How many squares are you installing per week? Because then you get to the production meeting. They had a production manager and then like they had a support staff to schedule all these crews. Well, if you got five roofs and they're all 200 square, that doesn't work.
Right.
So you have to actually understand what the roof is. It's not just like, this is a 40 square roof. Well, is it a 12-12 on a third story and it's all cut up? Like, that's probably not going to be a one-day job for some crews, but it may be. You just have to know your crews. That's one other thing I'd add to the dashboard is understanding the square count per week on average so that you can understand your production part of things.
Okay, so in really wrapping up, I'll just say one more thing of why this stuff is important. Contractor says, I want to do $5 million. Okay, right. Let's look at the numbers. So again, we're going to work those backwards. We have to know our average job cost, our average job size. Okay. Yep. On average. Okay. And 15, 30, 20, whatever it is, whatever that is. Now we know, divide that into 5 million. Here's how many roofs we have to do. Okay.
Yep.
How many roofs is that a week? Well, you've got two crews to do the work, and you're talking about doing five jobs a day. How does that work? Okay, well, we got to figure that out. So you figure that out, you got to look back. Okay, well, we need to do this many roofs. Okay, well, to get that many roofs, I know that our close rate is 1 in 3 because I know my numbers. Okay, so that means for every job we sell, we have to make 3 of those presentations.
Yep.
That those sit downs and all that process that we're talking about, we're still going to lose 2 of them. Okay. So now we need 3 times the amount of jobs that we need. Now we need to look at inquiries, leads, but not true leads. How many calls do we need to get on average? Okay. Now everybody says, well, I just need those 3 leads. Well, no, you don't, because most of them are going to be garbage. So how many do we need inquiries, because that is going to tell us how much marketing we've got to do, because you're going to do PPC and most of those leads are going to be garbage and that's where they're going to go. So we need to know that to get all those garbage leads, here's the number. Now to get those, we can figure out that we're going to need to spend X. Okay.
Yep.
That's what this is all about. And these are knowing your numbers. Now we can work on, well, how do we reduce that? Okay. How do we reduce the number of crappy leads that we need? And what other channels do we have that are going to be more effective? And it's just, again, It's knowing your numbers. This is the business end of this business, okay? That's what's important. You guys, you know, they think they're, oh, yeah, we're roofing company. No, you're business people, okay? You're running a business, and you better understand that business end of the business if you're going to be successful, because that's what it takes. And it's not that complicated. We're not talking about becoming an accountant. It's just having these things done, but it's setting yourself up to be able to handle those leads, to be able to close those leads. And that's what our CRM does for us. And that's where the part of our health check comes in, because now we can see how many leads we need, all the information, and we can see that we know we need this many leads, but we're not getting any those leads. These numbers aren't going to work. We don't have as many quotes going out, okay, and to sell that 1 in 3. Well, we can see now that 3 months from now, we're going to have a problem, because that sales cycle, we know how long it takes. We can forecast out, hey, we're going to run out of cash. We can plan this stuff. That's what we're talking about. So, John, do you have anything to add to this?
I do. I have one quick thing to explain.
There's never a quick thing with us.
All right, here you go. All right, if you want to sell $1 million, all right, let's do this really quick. Expand on what Dave just said. I've tried to do the math really fast. Let's say your average roof is $13,000. Okay, let's assume you're hitting the correct profit margin, which is, in my mind, at least 35% gross profit. It needs to be higher than that, but let's go 35%, because I know guys are like, I can't sell higher than 20%. Well, then bring more value. $13,000 roof times 80 roofs is $1,040,000. Okay, that's where I'm getting it. That's selling. You sold 80 roofs, but you presented how many times? 240 times, because your close rate's 1 out of 3. How do you get 240 presentations? You know, you've got to get the leads obviously coming through, but the number is not that large. For an entire year, 240 presentations is not that many. Are you doing it consistently every day? That is, let's go through the actual math of that. That's only working 48 weeks a year, 5 days a week. It's not working 6 or 7 days a week. It's not working 100 hours a week. It's only one presentation a day for 48 weeks. And you're probably not going to work 48 weeks because they're going to be holidays. It's going to be cold season. What other things? Okay, fine. But just most people get too much in the weeds of just do 240 presentations to start. Close 1 out of 3 of them. Super small roofs, $13,000 roofs. You'll be $1 million producer. That's it. As a sales rep, you make a good salary. As an owner, you'll make an even better salary. That should be your first goal, 80 roofs. And a lot of people in this world, I don't care how big your business is, they're like, why can't I have everyone be $1 million producer? It's still crazy to me that people will just keep hiring sales reps and like right. They're all doing like 600,000. Like, what are we doing here? $1 million is like not even the baseline. Even in middle America, where the income's super low, $13,000 roof is low. So if you sell anything higher, and our average was like $22,000 or $23,000 per roof, gotta sell less roofs, make more money. Everyone makes more money, have happier customers, take more time. Like this, you don't have to do as many jobs per year, is what I'm saying. And you still do $1 million. This is why knowing your numbers is important. This is why you can inspire people, the sales reps, like, do you want to sell $1 million? That's like, it is like a thing. It's like, I sold $1 million worth of roofs this year. I made, let's just make it easy. I made $100,000 personally this year because I sold $1 million of roofs. I just think that we make it too complicated a lot of times. Get to that first. That's the first thing you should do. Everyone on your team should be doing that minimally. That's all I got.
John, as always, this has been great. Thanks so much for coming back on the Roofer Show. Here's a big takeaway. You can't diagnose a sales problem with numbers you can't trust. A low closing rate is only a symptom. It could mean you're attracting the wrong inquiries, missing calls, responding too slowly, failing to qualify prospects, or not following up, or that salesperson needs help. And if your closing rate is unusually high, you may be underpriced, cherry-picking the numbers or calculating it incorrectly. That's why the sales dashboard is such an important part of the roofing business health check. Last week, we looked at the financial lab results. Today, we looked at the sales lab results. Once those numbers are accurate, we can identify where opportunities are being lost, forecast what's coming, and prescribe the right fix. To learn more about ProLine and see how it can help you build and track this process, go to theroofercoach.com/ProLine, and you can use my promo code of Dave50, that's Dave in capital letters, and you get some great discounts. And if you'd like me to look at the overall health of your roofing business, go to theroofercoach.com/health check. In the next episode, we're going to talk about ownership and execution. Who answers the phone, tracks every opportunity, keeps the CRM clean, and makes sure the follow-up actually happens. Because even the best dashboard is worthless if no one owns the process. John, thanks again, and thank you all for listening to The Roofer Show. We'll see you next week.